Hello, I'm Tamsin Broster, and you've tuned in to the Undiet Your Menopause podcast. This is your go-to space for liberating yourself from diet culture, so you can stop shrinking to fit in and take back your power as you navigate your menopause journey. Hey folks, welcome back to the Undiet Your Menopause podcast. This week we are back talking all about sleep and how you can get more of it in perimenopause and why you might be struggling with sleep right now. And I'm going to be in the usual Tamsin fashion. I am going to be talking about things that you probably haven't explored before, or you've explored in a very different way or surface level way. And I'm going to come on to those things in a minute. But before we get started, how have you been? What's your week been like? I've had a couple of weeks of feeling quite stressed. I've had a really bad IBS flare up, and I'm not alone because so many of you dived into my DMs after you saw my stories about having this IBS flare up that has been going on for a couple of weeks. And it's so interesting how many of you are living with exactly the same sort of symptoms and flare-ups that I had. And I think it's down to launching the podcast at a really difficult time. Now, I did put the launch of the podcast off for a while because I really wanted to be able to do it properly. And I had a lot going on in my personal life. I lost my lovely grandmother at a time where I wasn't expecting it. Obviously, we never expect these things to happen. And the plans for when I was going to launch the podcast were supposed to be 2 weeks earlier. So I delayed it by 2 weeks because, you know, these things happen and life happens. But it was still a really, really, really stressful time. And I think at the time, I remember thinking to myself, this is a car crash. Like, this is not going to happen. I'm so stressed. I'm so busy. I don't know how I'm going to juggle it all. But I remember thinking to myself, I'll just rest when it's done, right? I'll just get through this bit, I'll get through the launch. And then once the podcast is up and running, the launch is the hardest part. Once the podcast is up and running, you're kind of in that flow. It's kind of part of your day to day, and that's fine. But the launch is a different beast entirely. There are so many other things and factors that you have to take into consideration. So I was thinking, I'll get through this. And then once I'm through this really difficult piece, I will be able to rest and I will be able to get back into a rhythm and I will be able to start taking care of myself again. But of course, like, the universe has a completely different way of doing things. So by the time that I had finished launching the podcast, I immediately went into this like 2 weeks of IBS flare up, and it's meant that I haven't actually been able to work properly for the last couple of weeks. I have spent so much time in bed, so much time really near a bathroom. It's just not been a great time. However, do we ever really learn these lessons properly? I feel like I've probably said that before. So, you know, we're all human and I'm in the same boat as you. It's exactly the same things. We learn from the mistakes. We can see when things are not quite right and we need to have more rest. And I'm going to have to take that on board that I cannot afford to put myself at the bottom of my list. I'm so used to taking care of myself in a really specific way and ensuring that I can continue to work and to make sure that my health is where I want it to be. And that can't drop. Once that drops, it really, really does affect me. So thank you for everybody who reached out. Thank you for everybody who was checking in on Instagram. I really, really appreciate it. It's so nice to know that I wasn't alone and that other people suffer with this as well. And I did find out that the symptoms of it can really be exacerbated in perimenopause, which I didn't know. So that was really interesting too. But I'm happy to say I am feeling so much better this week. Not completely out of the woods, I wouldn't say. There's still things that I need to keep an eye on, keep checking on and supporting myself with as I kind of come out of this flare up. But I am feeling a lot better. But I wanted to kind of take a minute to really get that message home to you. So if you are listening to this and you are burning yourself out and you know you're doing it, this is my message to you, is that you need to put yourself to the top of your list. Take this as a sign from me that you cannot afford to continue pushing and pushing and pushing and doing everything for everyone and being everything for everyone and expect nothing to happen. Like, your body does fight back in ways that you won't plan for and that you won't be able to make time for. It's so hard to keep going at a certain level and a pace, especially in perimenopause. And I think that brings us really, really nicely into today's topic about sleep, because sleep is something that we do need to prioritize. It's something that we do need more of. There is nothing about what I'm going to talk about today in terms of the fact that we need more sleep that is going to be new to you in terms of that fact. We know that we need more sleep. We know, we're told all the time that we have to prioritize sleep, that we should be getting at least, you know, 8 to 9 hours, whatever the number, you know, is. But with perimenopause, it's really, really, it is a really hard time to do that. I thought I was out of the woods around the sleep deprivation thing. You know, I've had my kids. Once my kids started sleeping through the night, I thought that was it. Like, I would be able to just sleep in a normal way again, and it would be rare for me to be awake in the night. But my goodness, I was so wrong. I kind of went out of parenting young kids. And when they started sleeping, it's almost like I sailed straight into perimenopause. It's almost a bit like my body was maybe waiting to just get that part of my life done. And then it was going to sail me straight into the perimenopause symptoms. So I really didn't have like a break. And it wasn't very clear to me why I wasn't sleeping when my kids were sleeping. I thought maybe it's because I've become used to not sleeping because I had young children. But I don't think that was it. It's definitely the shift in hormones and things that will change how we sleep. And everybody's different. Some people will find it hard to drop off. Some people will find it really, really hard to get going in the morning, regardless of how much sleep they've had. And some of you, like me, might be waking up at sort of 2, 3, 4am and unable to get back to sleep, because that was my reality. Falling asleep wasn't the problem. Actually, falling asleep was quite easy for me. If I ever have a sleep disturbance or struggle with sleep, it's always the wake ups in the middle of the night. It's always the 2, 3am not being able to get back to sleep and not being able to really switch my brain off and get back into that restful place. And then what happens is I would end up falling asleep around 4:30, maybe 5am, and then my alarm clock goes off at 6 or 6:30. And that just isn't enough sleep. So I'd wake up feeling really groggy. I'd really struggle for the rest of the day. But really what we need to focus on is what's causing that sleep deprivation. Why is it we struggle to sleep and stay asleep in perimenopause? Now, there's a couple of things that I don't think are really talked about often enough. And okay, so the hormones are fluctuating. They are declining. We have estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and when those are declining or in fluctuation and not where they were, that optimal level that they have been up until this point, then we are going to suffer with sleep problems. And some of them will be affecting our ability to stay asleep and the quality of that sleep, like how deep we go into that sleep and how rested we feel in the morning. And I think it's progesterone that's the one that is really about how you wind down and that like relaxing in the evening. So they all play a key part, right? They are all involved. But this is the thing that I don't think we talk about enough. When we get to this stage of our life, we are usually at the height of our career or in really busy demanding jobs and whatever it is that we do, whether we run our own business, whether we work for a corporate company or whatever it is we might do, we're usually in very, very busy, stressful jobs. We've also got caring responsibilities. We might have young children, teenagers, grandchildren. We might have elderly parents, family members that we have to look after that rely on us for their care. Then we also have the mental load of everything that we are expected to do and expected to organize and keep going. On top of that, we have the unpaid labor that is expected of us to keep a household going and to keep our lives going. Appointments, you know, cleaning, organizing our house, maintaining a house. It's a lot of work. And I think we're still in that position where women take on so much of the caring responsibilities and the unpaid labor. And I don't think we talk about that enough when it comes to the impact it has on us in perimenopause and our sleep. The focus is really often on what we could be doing and what we could be doing differently, which that's fine, that's great. But we can't ignore the fact that some of it is because of those other things. So I want to acknowledge that straight up front, because I think it's really important that we don't just circle around the kind of empty advice, which is often dished out in terms of helping you sleep, like just reduce your stress, or go to bed earlier, or try and keep the lights down low, and all of this kind of, it's great advice, but it's empty advice if you've got a lot of stuff on your plate and we're not acknowledging the fact that those things exist, because then you just feel like, this isn't for me, this advice isn't for me, this doesn't apply to me, and I can't apply it to my life. So what I want to give you today are some really solid things that you can actually do and apply to your life. And some of it is going to be some tough love, but in a nice way, because I do understand what it is like to have all those responsibilities, have all that stuff going on, and struggle with sleep and just feel like you're not being seen and feel like you're not being heard. And before we get into some of that, I really want to talk about the effects that sleep might be having on you, because what we quite often don't realize is that the lack of sleep can really exacerbate the symptoms of perimenopause that we're already feeling. So we know that anxiety, stress, hot flushes, brain fog, all of that stuff is happening during perimenopause. And that our fluctuating and declining hormones, the three key hormones, are responsible for those things happening. They are triggering those things to happen. However, when we don't get sleep and when we don't get enough sleep, those symptoms can get worse. So it's like a, you know, this is not a good news story in terms of, you know, being positive about sleep and how we might be feeling, but it's really worth knowing that. So if you are struggling with some of those things, because quite often people will say to me, well, I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z symptoms, which is keeping me awake at night. And yes, they will be keeping you awake at night, but also the lack of sleep is making them worse. So it's like a constant cycle that goes round and round. And the impact that it has on us in terms of our confidence as well. You know, we quite often talk about body confidence and body image. When our body image is already on the floor, and we are feeling really, really stressed about how we look. Maybe we've gained some weight in perimenopause, our body has changed, our skin maybe has changed. Going through all those physical changes can cause us to feel so unconfident in ourselves and so unsure of ourselves. And I think that's really something that needs to be acknowledged, because our body image can feel so much worse in perimenopause because of all those things that are happening. And when we're tired and we're sleep deprived, it's really hard to have the compassion for ourselves and pull ourselves out of it, especially if that tiredness is causing us to reach for food that we are not particularly happy about ourselves eating. We know we want to look after our health. Of course we want to feel good. We want to be able to make really good choices for our body. We know that our body needs a certain amount of nutrients and all the rest of it. So when we're still stuck in that feeling of food shame, like we're eating all the like quote unquote wrong things and not eating enough of the good things, it can make us feel worse about ourselves. It's just a vicious cycle that just continues and continues. And as we talked about in episode 2 with emotional eating, perimenopause, the anxiety and the stress and the emotions that come up and the feelings that come up can really exasperate our preference for going for emotional eating and eating over the top of our feelings. It can cause that to feel a lot worse than it has done before. And that's why I really wanted to talk about in terms of food and dieting as the first kind of, not tip necessarily, but the first bit of kind of tough love that I want to share today, because I know that you're going to be stuck in a cycle of not being able to sleep and it's night after night and you're waking up or you're not going to be able to drop off or all of the above, and you want to get out of that cycle, but you're also feeling like you're eating too much in the evenings or you're snacking on things you shouldn't be, so you're trying to compensate the next day. So let's get into that, because this is exactly the point where women come to work with me. They come to work with me because they feel that they cannot get their food under control, that they are eating all of the wrong things, that they feel that they are not giving themselves the best chance of health in perimenopause, and they want to stop eating too much. They think they eat too much. So what I do is explore that with them. You know, what does too much look like? What does an average day look like? And quite often we'll focus on the latter part of the day. They will focus on the points at which they feel the guilt and the shame. So it's the stuff that they eat in the evening, the size of the meal they eat in the evening, and what follows after that meal. Now, what I usually do is dive into the questions that help me build up a bigger picture than just that part, because that's the part that feels really, really important to them, because that's the part that they feel out of control in. However, I want to look at the rest of the day. So when I work with people, what I'm going to be asking is, what are you eating early? What does the rest of the day look like? How are you sustaining yourself? How are you giving yourself the energy you need to do all of the things you've got to do? So you might have a very busy, stressful life, but how are you supporting yourself through that? What does a day look like in terms of food, in terms of movement, in terms of rest, in terms of self-care, all of that stuff? And 9 times out of 10, what I find is clients are not really eating very much during the day. They are trying to compensate. They are trying to eat very little. They sustain themselves with endless amounts of coffee or tea or diet drinks, and they try and just eat less. And then the evening comes around, and of course, their body cannot hold back. Their body is feeling like, we haven't had enough today. So what happens is they end up pushing a whole day's worth of eating into an evening, and then it feels out of control. It feels like a binge, because I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to say it. Your body does not care you think you ate too much yesterday. It doesn't care that you feel like you'd want to fit into that pair of jeans. It doesn't care that you used to be 2 sizes smaller. Your body's only interest. It has one job alone, and that is to keep you alive and to keep you safe and healthy. Now that sounds confusing, because what you're probably thinking is, but I eat all the unhealthy things. How is that my body trying to keep me healthy? Your body's doing the best with what it has. What it is trying to tell you is, you're not giving me enough in the day. So I can't rest at this point. Your body cannot kind of go into that relaxation mode, because it still hasn't met its calorific need. It hasn't met what it needs for the day. So it's going to drive you towards food. It's going to be really, really distracting. And if you're in the evenings trying to get work done, all of that kind of stuff, you're sending your body the message that this is not a time to rest. This is a time to eat, and this is time to work, which is really, really confusing to that rhythm and that sleep cycle that we need to get into the pattern of. So what I suggest with clients is, let's have a look at the day, and how can we start to add more food into the day? How can we make sure that every meal that you're eating, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, is satisfying? It fills you up and it gives you everything you need. Protein, fats, carbs, you know, it tastes good. It's enjoyable for you to eat. It's accessible. You've got the ability to cook it, to go and get the stuff, to make it, the time, all of that stuff. How can we factor all of that in so that your evenings don't look the way they do? And what all of my clients find, and I had this too, this is exactly the same process that I went through when I was trying to heal myself from all the dieting, was this idea that we have to eat as little as possible is so skewed, because it's keeping us stuck in this cycle. But when we start to give ourselves exactly what we need through the day and having nothing off limits, so, you know, you think that you're going to be diving into the chocolate at 11 o'clock at night, why not allow yourself to have some chocolate in the day and see what happens? You get curious about how that might shift things for you, because it's really a game changer. As soon as you start feeling that you're eating enough during the day, it has such an impact quite quickly on how likely you are to still be binging and eating in the evenings. When I talk to clients about eating intuitively, so many people think that eating intuitively is just eating what you want, because when we're talking about intuitive eating, we're talking about intuitive eating in terms of no longer dieting. Now, your only experience of no longer dieting is probably something along the lines of feeling out of control, being like, quote unquote, off the wagon. And that's not what intuitive eating is. Intuitive eating is about keeping yourself satisfied, giving yourself permission to eat during the day, regular intervals during the day, giving yourself permission to enjoy your food, to really be full, to actually feel that fullness and actually walk away from the table feeling like you've eaten food and you are satisfied. And that is something that I don't think we prioritize, because we are wrapped up in diet culture. It's all we've ever known. We don't know how to eat intuitively, because nobody's ever taught us to do that. Because if they had, we wouldn't have ever gone down the road of dieting. It's something that we possibly did as children if we were able to, but quite often not even then, because we were taught how to eat as little as possible or we had our food restricted for us. So really, my message to you is, if you are stuck in the cycle of thinking you need to eat as little as possible and you need to get through your day and you're supplementing it with coffee and Diet Coke and all of those things, my message to you is that we need to get to help your sleep. You need to feel satisfied. You need to have more food during the day, and so that you're eating at regular intervals, so you're telling your body that it is time to eat, that it is time to have something that is sustaining for you, so that you don't end up pushing all of your day's eating into the evening. Okay, so that brings me nicely on to evening and morning routines. This is, you know, the second thing that I want to share with you. And I always want to share at least three things that with each episode that you can take away and really implement into your life. That is the whole point of this podcast, is to give you some information to take away and maybe look at things a little bit differently, or just have another look at what you're doing and see if there's something in here that would help you. So evening routines, morning routines is something I kind of used to reject. Like, I didn't really want to have this fancy pants morning routine like you see on Instagram, that it just isn't really conducive to the life that I have. I don't want something to be so pretty and Instagrammable and just something that isn't achievable. So I kind of rejected it for a while, to be honest, and I really struggled with my sleep. I used to wake up in the night, as I said, and I would always scroll my phone. And, you know, we say that we don't do it, but every client I've worked with is like, yeah, I do that. And I wake up, that's what I do. I go onto my phone, I'll be shopping, I'll be looking at holidays, I'll be looking at TikTok or Instagram, and I scroll until I feel too tired and then I fall asleep again. But again, this is what we need to really look at, is how we're spending our evenings. Are we spending our evenings working, scrolling phones, chatting to our friends, catching up with emails, all the things that we haven't been able to do because we've been in meetings all day, or we've been sorting out kids or other responsibilities? What are we pushing into that later evening part? And how do we spend our evening and those hours in through the night that we wake up? I'm always quite surprised about quite how many of my clients do this too. I kind of thought it was just a me thing, but everybody's doing it. Everybody is getting into this kind of addictive scrolling zone just before bed. And it really is impacting our sleep. So what we need to be doing is thinking about turning that off earlier. Now, if you have got deadlines to do and you do work in the evenings like I do sometimes, it's having that cutoff point and being really, really strict with yourself and setting aside time so that you can enjoy those things, like scrolling TikTok and scrolling Instagram and whatever, Facebook, whatever social media you're using. It is actually enjoyable. It does kind of numb us out at the end of the day. It does kind of give us a distraction. But I think we need to be realistic about what we can and can't do when we are really stuck in this cycle of not getting any sleep and not getting enough quality sleep. So it's really, really important. And one of my clients actually set this up for herself. She set like a timer on her phone. And you can set limits on these apps and timers so you can kind of get into a wind down period. So your phone will signal to you that it's time to come off and change what you're doing and do something else. And the amount of time you get back as well, I think is really, really lovely here. This isn't about being, you know, mean to yourself or just trying to treat yourself like a 15-year-old that you're trying to get off the internet at night. But it really, really is important for us in perimenopause to make sure that we can wind down our evening in a way that allows us, it's really conducive to sleep. So if we're up, we're wired, we're, you know, eating loads of snacks, we're doing all this stuff, we're drinking wine, we've got our phones, it's not conducive to sleep. And it's not going to help us to get that quality. And the other part of that equation is how we wake up. So many of us reach over, grab our phones and kind of scroll for half an hour before we get out of bed. And again, it's fun, it's enjoyable. I get why people do it. And I know so many people that do it. But our morning routine, like how we spend our morning, kind of sets us up for the day. Now, I'm not suggesting that you have to leap out of bed and go for a 6 a.m. run or all of that stuff. I just think it doesn't matter what you do. It needs to be something that really feels good to you. Perhaps it's good for you to get up and jump straight in the shower, But what I'm saying is how you start your day will impact how you're able to wind down in the evening and your ability to get that sleep. So we don't want to just look at that evening routine. We want to look at that morning routine as well. And I promise you, if you are really strict with it and you stick with that for a couple of weeks, I think you would notice the difference, because I did. I went through this exact process myself and I had to be really strict with myself, but the results were so amazing, I couldn't go back. Now, there are times when I occasionally have to work in the evenings, or I will be answering an email in the morning because I have let my boundaries drop, maybe, or I have forgotten to put my phone out of my room at nighttime. And, you know, or I needed my phone in my room at nighttime just in case somebody calls me. Like when my nan was ill, I needed to make sure my phone was with me. And there are times when that habit will creep back in, but it's not long before I will, you know, make that stop again, or I will understand that that has going to have an impact on me. And it's, I don't want to exchange my sleep again. I don't want to go back to those sleepless nights because I don't have young babies anymore. I don't want to be awake all night. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, not having my phone in my room really helps me to stop that doom scrolling, to stop that 3 a.m. searching for a holiday or looking for new clothes or whatever it might be when I wake up in the night and I just think, oh, I'll just go online and occupy myself. And actually what happens is I get back to sleep quicker. Yes, I do wake up now and again. I still do wake up, but the amount of times that I'm staying awake is a lot less. And it's so, so nice because you can wake up in the morning and really, really feel refreshed. I do have a little bit of a morning routine. I do take the dog for a walk because we have a dog, and by the morning he's cross-legged and ready to go. So that does help me get out in the morning and get some fresh air on my face, which I know is so good. It's not accessible to everybody to do that. And I fully, fully get that. But maybe you could do something gentle, like just literally getting out of bed, stretching, getting up and getting in the shower, or having 5 minutes where you just drink a cup of tea without your phone and you just look out the window, or something really, really, really simple. But having a morning routine that doesn't involve reaching for your phone is incredible. And I promise you, it does make a difference. And I wonder, like, how does that make you feel? Do you feel like that is something that you could try? Do you feel that you could just try it for 2 weeks? You know, it isn't really a long commitment to maybe give that a go. And I think you'd find that it would help change things. And yes, I know that quite often there's a lot of stress in our lives. And this is why I don't want to kind of lead with this episode in terms of just reduce your stress, because sometimes we can't. Like if somebody had said to me, you need to reduce your stress, when my grandmother was unwell and then passing away, I wouldn't have been able to do that because I wasn't in control of that situation. And I couldn't control the fact that I was sad and upset and stressed about everything, the impact on my family that was having. There is nothing that could have taken away that stress, because it's not possible. And I think this is why I think it's really great to be able to just do little tweaks to our routine and really put yourself at the top of your list. It's really, really, really important, because when you start getting that sleep again, or even just a slight improvement in your sleep, it's going to help you with the way that you feel about yourself, the amount of stress that you have in the first place, and how you're feeling around food and how you show up and how you move your body and all of those things. So the benefits outweigh, I think, missing the phone. That's my opinion. See what you think. And the last thing that I really wanted to focus on today is self-care. Now, I kind of hate that term. I'm not really a lover of the term self-care, but it's the only way I can kind of describe it, kind of get across what I mean. Self-care, if your self-care looks a little bit like getting your hair done, getting your nails done, and maybe having the occasional bath, that might not be the self-care that you need in perimenopause. Those things are great, but those things are very wrapped around the idea of improving how we look. And what I want to help you do is get around the idea of improving how you feel. Because self-care, yes, when we feel good in our body and we feel good with our appearance, yes, that's going to help us. But I want to look at stuff on a deeper level. Actual anxiety management and managing your nervous system is so important, and that doesn't come from those types of self-care. As women, we are taught that those types of self-care are what we need. And I'm not asking you to take them away, But what we really need are other things that might be accessible to us. Now, it might be something like stretching. It might be something like 5 minutes of meditation. It might be journaling. It might be all of those things. But picking just one thing and adding it in, maybe it's something you've wanted to try for a while. Maybe you've wanted to try meditation for a while. Let's take that as an example. Maybe you just feel like it's not accessible, or you don't really know what you're doing, or you feel a bit silly. It's worth just getting a guided meditation, and just a 5 minute one, a 10 minute one. There are so many free resources out there. There is no need to buy anything. You don't need any special equipment. And you could just try that 5 minutes a day. And 5 minutes a day could really, really change how you calm your nervous system and calm your stress and be able to get back in touch with your body. This is about reconnecting with your body. And there are so many different things you could try. So I don't want to kind of sit here and say, yes, you should try this, you should try that. It's going to really be different for everybody. I love my morning walks. That is my time. That is my peaceful time. Just me, just the dog. Sometimes we bump into a couple of deer on the way. It's lovely. And especially this time of year when the weather's getting better and it's brighter in the morning, it's such a lovely way to wake up and start my day. And I know that that makes a difference to me. If I don't get that walk, I know that I will feel differently and my day kind of pans out differently. So it's something that I try and stick with at least 5 days out of seven. But that's really personal to me. So it really does have to be something that works for you. But the other aspect of self-care, which I don't think we talk about enough, can be things like boundaries and asking for help and not taking on so much. Now, what I mean by that is we are very socialized to please everybody else, to be doing stuff for everybody else. We're always thinking about what other people need, what other people want, whether it's what they're going to eat, whether it's the fact that they need an appointment made, whether it's the fact that what they're going to like to have for their birthday. We are wired for other people. And perimenopause is that time that we can start thinking about how we pull back in towards ourselves and how we give ourselves more than we've given ourselves ever before in our life. And I'm emphasizing this part of the self-care because I see time and time again, women come to me to work with me, they are exhausted, they are depleted. And when we talk about what their day looks like and why they can't make time for going for a walk that they want to do, this is not me telling them they should go for a walk, let's say. I had a client who was really struggling with the fact that she wanted to go for a walk in the morning. She wanted to get that exercise. She knows that it sets her up for the day. She knows that it really helps her, but she couldn't find the time to do it because she'd always get distracted. There was washing, there was a dishwasher to do. She was always thinking about her packed lunches for her husband, her son, herself. She was thinking about what everyone was having for tea and wondering whether she could make a head start on that in the morning. And she was always pushing for making sure all those things were happening first before getting up in the morning and going outside. However, her husband would go for a walk or a run in the morning without fail. He prioritized that because he put himself to the top of his list. Now he's able to do that because she is picking up the rest of the stuff that needs doing. She's carrying the mental load of the stuff that needs doing, and she's doing the physical act of actually making that happen to make sure that dishwasher is unpacked, to make sure that kitchen is clean, to do all the things that she wants to get done that she knows she doesn't want to leave. But when she was able to see that and reflect on that and see how her husband had this very non-negotiable way of his morning routine was non-negotiable, she realized that actually she needed to get into that mindset as well of having this non-negotiable stuff that she would say, right, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do this thing for myself. And if that other stuff doesn't get done, then it doesn't get done. Or maybe somebody else in the house could also help and pick up some of that load. That is kind of, that is a bit tough love, but I see so many women just depleting themselves over and over again for years on end for the benefit of men, for the benefit of others in the household. And actually, we need to put ourselves first. This whole entire episode, if you take nothing else away, is about getting yourself to the top of your list to the top of your list so that you are a priority, because everything that you are going through in perimenopause is really hard and it's like nothing you have been going through before. And it's really, really time to start prioritizing you. You as a human being have needs, and that's okay. You can meet your needs. You are in control of meeting those needs. I hope that's given you some food for thought. Don't forget that doors are open to my MenoThrive course, where we go through all of this and more and go through everything you need to get through perimenopause in a really empowered way, so that you're not feeling like you are a last resort. And it will also help you get through things like emotional eating, binge eating, and discover a more intuitive way of being around food and finding some peace with your body so that you're not constantly at war with it. So if you want to join that, there's a link in the show notes. We are starting on the 13th of May, so there's still some time to get in if you want to. I do only take a small cohort of people for each course, so do come and join us if you are ready to dive into that stuff and get some help and stop suffering alone, because this is tough. This is hard stuff. We don't need to go it alone. You can get that support and the help that you need. So that's it from me today, and I will be back next week with another episode. I look forward to seeing you then. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Undiet Your Menopause podcast. Join me next week for another chat about menopause, breaking free from food rules, body shame, and society's expectations. And if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to rate and review. It takes less than a minute, but it truly helps the algorithm gods find more people who need this podcast in their life. If you want to make sure you never miss an episode, then follow or subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to stay connected to each and every one of you. And as a little thank you from me to you, I've put a link in the show notes that will give you access to my free unapologetic guide to undieting your life. It's packed full of ways you can have a better relationship with food, get started with intuitive eating, and love and accept your body exactly as it is without shrinking. You can follow me on Instagram, LinkedIn, or find out more about how to work with me on my website, www.tamsinbroster.co.uk. Everything you need is in the show notes. I will see you next time on the Undiet Your Menopause podcast.